Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily with Syl Stein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. And it is my pleasure to introduce you to a wonderful author, and she does it all. I'm going to read a little bit about her before I bring her in. Her name is Francine Lee W., and she's a dystopian author and mental health poet, wondering the wonders of life, always finding inspiration for the heroes and villains that can touch the hearts of readers. She's currently working on the dystopian novel America, Land of the Fallen. Her dystopian romance novel, Burn, will be released in late fall. Welcome, good afternoon, and welcome to the show, Francine Lee W. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great, and she's also a great friend. I met her through Coffee House Writers, but I'll let you tell you, let everyone hear her tell you all about what she does, because she does a lot of stuff. So go ahead, Francine.
It's a very loaded question if you want to know everything that I do. But, I do a little journalism. I do mostly content writing and on my two novels right now. America, Land of the Fallen was originally Second Civil War. And that one I've been tossing around for a couple of years. It's we'll call it a labor of love. But Burn is I approached Burn a different way than I approached. I started, you know, pantsing America following, and easier. It's a lot easier for me to write because I actually plotted it. So I do that, and I also mentor and edit for the Coffee House Writer.
Are you still there, Francine? Are you there? Francine, we seem to have a bad connection. Are you there?
Hold on, let me... Can you hear me now?
Yes, I hear you perfectly now.
Alright, sorry, my dogs are outside, so I'm sitting on the porch watching them. I think I just...
Oh, you're fine.
Too far away.
You're not bothering me. I have kids, so I hope you don't hear any background noise. I'm in my living room area.
Yeah, I was... Literally, my dog chose the wrong time to get antsy and have to go potty.
That's okay. You're fine. No worries. Take your time.
So, like I was saying, my favorite part of what I do when it comes to the editing, the mentoring, I have done a I think I'm on my third freelance developmental editing job. I'm working with I'm working with a poet to edit her poetry book right now. So I've got that, but what I really enjoy is just mentoring and helping people, and I'm hoping to start an...
Okay, your connection's not sounding very good right now. Again, Francine, are you there? Hello? We seem to have another connection issue. Might be because you're outside. Yeah, okay.
You know what it is? It's whenever my it seems to be going when my screen goes down.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on.
No, you're fine. I have that from time to time with Spectrum. I used to have it a lot worse with T-Mobile. But with Spectrum, we kind of have that on and off. It depends what day it is.
I have an iPhone, and it is the worst.
Really? Which one do you have?
I have the iPhone 7.
Okay, okay. Yeah. I just upgraded mine because I waited to get mine, and it was hard because I either wanted a 7 or an 8, and I had my 8 for a long time because I didn't want to change it because of the home button, and I finally... My husband's like, get something else. So I got an SE because I thought it was the more affordable of the, you know, everybody's going for the 11s and the 12s. It was hard for me to get an iPhone to begin with. So this is good enough.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. But anyway, sorry. Enough of that.
No, that's fine. I'll just keep an eye on my screen and keep tapping it from time to time to make sure it stays up.
No problem. And you were saying you were going back to how you love mentoring and you were
working. I love mentoring. And what I'm trying to do right now is, and it's kind of difficult because you need money to do anything online.
Yes.
I don't care what anybody says. You have to pay for this app. You have to pay for that app.
Yes, you do.
You know, but so I'm trying to find a job. I've been unemployed due to a car accident since 2016.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
No, that's okay. So, you know, with a huge gap, a 5-year gap, it's not easy getting a job.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to find a job and the right job as well.
Yes.
So once I get the money, I'm going to start being able to publish more regularly, get more of my content up. Because one of the things that I want to really mentor writers on is not just the development of their stories.
Yes.
But how to promote themselves and their books.
Yes.
Journalism and their writing. I want to be able to create mini classes.
Yes.
On marketing, on, you know, how to use TikTok, on, you know, I mean, because I've struggled with a lot of this myself.
Yes.
So a lot of this is kind of like a, you know, I've learned it through, you know, not only research, because my master's degree thesis was on self-publication, social media marketing.
Yes.
But, you know, I have tried and failed and tried and succeeded.
Yeah, it's like a trial and error type of thing. It really is about that. Yes.
Yes.
I agree with you. It's like with when I do a podcast, it's all trial and error.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. And I learned about podcasting, not just from school, but from you, because you taught me a lot about podcasting.
Oh, thank you. You're so sweet. But you have the voice. You have the perfect voice for a podcast. You really do.
Thank you. I actually, I was taking singing lessons, and I've got to get back to them as soon as I get a new job. But one of the things that I want to do, and I think that a lot of self-published authors should do more of.
Yes.
Record their own audiobooks.
Yes.
You know, it is so cheap to record your book, yourself.
Your own. Yeah.
And you only open up your avenue of, you know, the more marketing avenues that you have, the more sales lines that you have, you know, the more you can make on your books, the more you can share.
Yes.
You can now share your books to the blind. You can now share your books to people who have trouble reading, whether they are learning disabled or they just have like their some kind of neurological disorder or that keeps them, you know, like
from reading. Reading a physical book, they can just listen to it, and they're also, you know, hearing the story and grasping everything, you know, and getting more in touch with it.
Yes, and there's one thing that I started with my private positive author support group.
Yes.
I forgot to give you the contact information, the link for that, and I'll do that after the podcast.
Oh, definitely.
Because people can join it. The only reason it's private is I don't want trolls on the page.
Oh, I know. trust me. I have
rejected a few people, like people who like either refuse to answer the questions or people who, you know, they didn't, like their answers were kind of like sarcastic. I'm like, those are not the kind of people we want in this group. We want people who will lift people up.
That's what the whole, I mean, it says it in your group. Can you tell us about that group and share why you started it?
Well, part of my master's degree thesis project wasn't just the 1,500 plus word article and the videos and the podcast that I did with you. And the infographic.
That was awesome. Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciated that.
Oh, I appreciate everybody who helped me with it, because I literally changed my thesis from climate change to self-publication marketing.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle, like halfway through my thesis project, because I was like, this is really what I want to focus on.
Yeah.
So the fact that you guys were so willing to do this last minute, when I had like a month and a half left to finish my thesis, was just you guys made my life.
Well, you were so sweet and kind about it. You're always very, very, you know, uplifting to everyone else. So why not? You know, for me, it was an easy one, you know?
Yes, thank you. So part of my project was also to create some kind of social media. It was either a group or like a Twitter list or something like that to share, because I also had to do all the social media marketing for my thesis project. In journalism at Full Sail University, we do a whole project and then we do our thesis. And our thesis is basically analyzing, you know, what we did for our project. So I literally had to, you know, come up with an article, do the marketing, do the video podcast.
And you're so good at it. Oh my goodness. You're like a natural at it.
And I enjoy it. And it's not that I'm a natural. The way that they taught it, each principle built on the previous principle we had learned.
Okay.
So it made it easier for me to learn, but learning like a whole bunch of stuff all at once, hitting it and getting hit in the face with a whole bunch of stuff, I was never able to do it. It frustrated the heck out of me, but the way that they taught it with a hands-on approach.
I love that. That helps a lot.
Principle upon principle, you know, it made it a lot easier. So people think I'm a natural. It's like, no, no.
But, well, you make it sound like, you know, the way you present, you have that voice that never bores anyone. Because I'm sorry to say, there's some presentations you watch that you really don't want to watch, no offense to anyone, but when the voice is boring, you really just want to shut down and not watch it.
Exactly.
What is it? Monotonous voice, is it? Monotone or something like that?
Yeah, the monotone. You don't want a monotone voice.
No.
You do want to rise and fall and pitch, and it depends on what you're doing. If you're doing sports, you really want to be excited.
Yes.
If you're being instructional, you want to sound authoritative.
Yeah.
But not like you're talking down to people.
No.
So it's more than just, you have to understand the psychology behind what your audience is expecting.
Expecting, exactly, yes. And that's what you do very, really well, my friend. You really are, maybe you're not a natural, but you make it sound like you are.
Well, you know, it's funny because you know how like some people, they have that writer's fraud. I have that like mentor fraud. It's like, I am literally learning as I go, but as I learn, I want to teach because I want people to learn how easy, it's not like easy, but like how easy it is once you like get that ball rolling.
Yes.
It's not as complicated and hard as people think once they get a few basic principles down.
Yes.
And
you're willing to learn. I can see that, especially when you do that positive. You were going to tell us about your positive author group.
Yes, the Positive Author Support Group. So that was part of my thesis project.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to come up with some kind of social media element to it. And that's when I created the Positive Author Support Group, because I wanted to share the marketing aspect of self-publication, because it's not easy. It's very difficult. I mean, I still go to people that I feel do marketing better than I do. You know, and I still read the articles. I still, you know, check out my Google Analytics.
Yeah.
Because WordPress is wonky. One day it's slower than heck, and the next day it's like, oh, you're doing great. I have a brother who works in IT. He's like, I want to give your site to my, you know, to my coworker who, you know, because my brother works on software.
Yes.
He has a couple of coworkers who work on web design.
Oh.
And he's like, yeah, the problem is every time I go to give it to them, it's like WordPress knows I'm going to pass this on to a web designer, and that's the day your website decides to work.
Oh.
So I'm struggling with my website right now. Some days it works.
Some days it doesn't.
Some days it's slower than molasses running down a glacier. So now with the group, what I did, you know, not just to share the social media, But basically, I want people to come in and say, hey, this is what I'm working on. I have one area that's linked.
Hello? I think your connection, your screen might have gone down. We'll get her back in a minute.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot to tap the screen.
Repeat that last part. Sorry.
Okay. So I have two things I have pinned as announcements at the top of my page. One is I want everybody to post a photo of them with in their crown.
Yes.
And the other one is I want everybody to share their social media so we can support each other.
Yes.
If somebody posts something, like I don't want people thinking it's a sales site, but I do want them to share, you know, hey, you know what?
These are my links and I want you to support me. I like that TikTok, the one that had all those authors and like sharing them with a Sarah McLachlan playing in the background.
Yes, yes. Yes, the one that I tagged you.
Yes, thank you for that.
You know, like, hey, check this out. This is a cool idea. And that's the best thing to do is just, you know, go out there and experience and examine and see what other
people. Yeah, and help others. Like, you want to uplift them, you know, and that's the best way to do it.
Yes, and I put a poll up there today asking anybody if they wanted to learn about TikTok because I have done live meetings.
You're really good at TikTok. I love watching. I wish I had more time to watch you because every time I watch one, I just get really happy.
And you don't have to be like 100% faithful with TikTok. There are people who have, you know, 20,000 to 100,000 people and they're posting like, you know, 1 to 5 times a day.
Yeah.
I post 2 to 4 times a week. I've got 700 followers.
Awesome.
And I would say I probably have about 20 engaged followers.
Nice.
I get approximately 20 likes. I would like more comments. So that's what I need to figure out how to
get. Yeah.
But on my positive author support group, I was like, hey, does anybody want to hear about TikTok? I put a poll up there, see what they want. And if they want it, I'll do, you know, a Zoom meeting. Hey, this is what I've learned.
Yes, and I got to join TikTok. Those. Hopefully I'll have some time. It's been a crazy year. It's awesome, but it's been crazy. When I started at work, I'm off right now, but then it gets, you think you have more time, but you don't. And that's one of the things that I'm trying to work, be better at.
Yes, I know. And I've been pretty bad lately because I've been job searching.
Yeah.
No. So I'm in a position with getting a divorce now and all that other stuff.
That doesn't help. You know, personal issues also affect us, even though we don't want it to. They do.
Yep. But there's still little things we can do here and little things we can do
there.
There needs to be dedication. But if you don't have, you know, 2 hours to write, you at least have 2 minutes to write down an idea.
An idea. Exactly. I love that.
You know,
you said that. It's true.
If you can't get your story down, you know, you can at least get your ideas down. You can get a sentence here, a sentence there. I like Stephen King when he said because I like to watch YouTube videos about what other authors are doing, whether they're Stephen King or, you know, somebody I just found out about on TikTok. You know, I like to watch and see what other authors are doing. And Stephen King said something that was, it really hit me. And he said, because George R.R. Martin was interviewing him.
Yeah.
And George R.R. Martin's like, sometimes, like, wow. If I get like 3 chapters out, you know, and I think he said 6 months or something like that, I'm pretty happy. Do you ever get writer's block? And Stephen King said, no. I sit myself down and I make myself write 6,000 words a day. And then what he said after that was, it really, really resonated. And that was that, if you have an idea, and because George, I guess he was also asked about how he feels about writing ideas down. And he said, I don't. If I have an idea, it will last, it will stay with me.
Yeah.
It's a good idea. If you have to write that idea down to remember it,
yes,
because you're going to forget it, that's probably not worth writing.
So for him, and that's the thing with Stephen King, he's very, very, very honest and blunt about, he says he never watches TV, especially when it comes to writing. He says that that's like a toxic when you're trying to write, that for him, It's a writer. I have the Stephen King on writing. It's one of the best books I've ever read.
Yeah.
You know, of, and he's very blunt about you've got to have a schedule. Like, you've got to make yourself right.
Yep. And I'm finding ways of doing that, but
yeah,
sometimes with life, you have to adapt. Now, he's he's been able to make it his life.
Yes.
We all want to make it our life.
Oh, my gosh. Me too. We have to work.
We have to work, but we have to find ways to work around it.
Yes.
You know, and some of the other people that know me know that I went for a ghostwriting position.
Yes.
And I wound up turning it down for a couple of reasons. And I know people are upset at me. They're like, you should just be taking any job you can get at this point.
Yeah.
You know, with the divorce and needing to get my own place. And, you know, people were really upset I turned it down. But here's the thing. Yeah. I did the math. In order to earn enough to, like, exist off of, I have to write 2,000 words an hour, 10 hours a day.
And
but I wouldn't really exist off of that because there's personal, there's the employee taxes.
Yeah.
It's a freelance position, so I also have to pay the employer taxes. That's about 45% of your paycheck right there.
Yeah. So you wouldn't be earning enough to make it ends meet anyway.
Not just that. You're only getting paid per word. And you have to write nonfiction before you can write, you know, fiction or SEO or anything like that.
Yeah.
And they say that they start you off at $1.30 per 100 words. But then when you start the training, you find out you're starting at $1 per 100 words, and you have to work your way through a series of 4 different raises to get to 130.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah.
You know? So, and I did that between the expenses with the internet, the computer, and the fact that I would be spending 3 to 4 hours a day researching the nonfiction.
That wouldn't be worth it.
That's the minimum wage.
Yeah. It wouldn't be worth it.
No. So we have to make these decisions for ourselves. We also have to make a decision like, okay, 20 minutes after the kids go to bed and before I go to bed, or before I do the dishes, I'm going to do a sprint write.
Yes.
Or I'm going to get up 1 hour before everybody else in the house and I'm going to write for an hour.
Yes.
These are the decisions that we have the ability
to make. We have to do it for ourselves. Yep.
We often find excuses for them.
Oh my gosh. That's one of my biggest problems that I have. I haven't spoken about it, but procrastination is one. I find an excuse because something else is going on. And my husband said, you have to put you first.
Yes.
You know, I know it doesn't sound logical to you because you're always doing for everybody else. But if you don't put you first, you're never going to finish it.
Exactly. And it's not just a matter of, oh, I got to take care of my kids.
Yeah.
You have to take care of yourself, too.
Yeah. Self-care is something that I struggle with. Oh, my gosh. A lot.
And if mamas and papas don't take care of themselves, eventually they're going to crash and burn.
Yep.
You know, and then you're not going to be any good to your kids.
No. And I'm starting to learn to do that. It's not easy, but I'm slowly starting to get to do that.
Exactly. And we need to prioritize it. For some people, it's just basic self-care, mental health, make yourself feel good.
Yes.
For people like me, I have anxiety, depression, and PTSD. And
I can't imagine none of that's easy.
No, so if I don't take care of myself, and for me, one of my self-cares is writing, because that's giving me the goal to be able to work a schedule.
Yes, and it's also therapeutic, I imagine, for lots of other reasons, too.
It is very therapeutic. It doesn't matter if it is, if I'm doing journalistic writing, or if I'm doing you know, fiction writing, just writing in general for me, I enjoy. I could write my journal.
Yeah.
Therapeutic.
Yes.
You know? And then there are people who have physical disabilities. We could probably name off 3 or 4 of them from the Coffee House Writers.
Yes.
That we know without even batting an eye.
Yes.
And for them, writing about their physical disability so they can find other people that they can connect with who are like them and kind of inspire them and get inspired by the stories that people tell them in return to their story. You know, that's very therapeutic too.
Yeah, it is. So, it is.
You know, and I know it sounds funny, but sometimes the work you do can be therapy. There's a lot of truth to
yes.
doing a job you enjoy.
Yes.
It is not necessarily work.
I agree.
So that goal to move through, I've got my kids and my job, and I'm just too busy to write to. I got my kids and my job, but I have this goal that's going to improve my life.
Yes.
I'm going to find 20 minutes, 15 minutes to an hour, maybe 2 hours on the weekend.
Yes.
You know, squeeze out some time to put my, you know, to put my goals in action.
Yes, exactly. And that's the thing that we, everyone, one of us has a different story to tell. Like we have our own stuff going on, but if we, you know, we have to work on those goals so we can have that dream like Stephen King does, you know, where he can do that for, you know, that's his life, writing, you know, writing and books. That's what, that's the goal we have as authors.
Yeah, exactly.
As writers, as aspiring, whether we have published or not, for some of us, that's the dream, to just be able to do that for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes that dream, you know, it's just going to take that much more. How much stress do you feel?
Yeah.
Driving to work to a job that you don't like?
Yeah. Are you there, Francine? I think the connections hopefully will come back. So enjoying this chat with Francine Lee W. She should be right back. No worries, guys. Francine, are you there? I'm going to wait a little bit because I'm sure she's connecting back. Francine? Are you there? Francine? Let's see. Having a little trouble getting her back. Francine. We'll call this part one of her, of the conversation we've been having with the wonderful Francine Lee W. I want to wait a little bit before I disconnect. She might be back, but we can do it in two parts, so no fretting about that. We're here on the Daily Whistlestein through Anchor FM, which presents the Coffee Chronicles, and we're talking to the amazing Francine Lee W., which I hope will be back. Says that we're connected, but I'm not hearing her, so I don't know if it's on my end. It could be. So I'm going to stop this, and then we'll do a part two. So no worries, Francine, if you're hearing this. We'll be back. I'll send you another link and we'll connect and we'll do a part two on this. And this has been the Daily Whistlestein through Anchor FM presents the Coffee Chronicles. This is part one. We'll connect with Francine in a little bit and come right back. Thank you for joining me on the Daily Whistlestein through Anchor FM.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we are back on the Daily with Silstein through Anchor FM. We're on part two of our awesome conversation with the amazing author, Francine Lee W. And I'm sorry we got disconnected, but I decided we could do a part two. This is my podcast, and we're going to keep going, and we're not going to let anyone rain on our parade. So go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You lost me when somebody tried calling through, and I can't put my phone on airplane mode or else I won't be able to use Anchor.
Okay. No problem.
And no problem. And then when I like did a few things to try and get you to be able to hear me, all of a sudden I started getting static, and oh, the joys of technology.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. It happens. Hey, no worries at all. So no, I'll just add it on to the podcast when it gets edited and all that. So no worries.
That's perfect. Thank you. Yeah.
And you were saying before we got disconnected, you were talking about where did we leave off?
Basically goals. And yes. This is one of the things when I was sitting there on Monday wondering, you know, should I continue with this, you know, moving forward with this job, or should I take a step back and say, you know what, it's not going to be worth it. I sit down there and think about my goals. What is it that I really want? And it's not just what do I want as an author. It's what do I want for my life? Because when we're talking about authorship and we want to become a full-time author, it's not just our jobs affect our lives. How long we sit in traffic, yes, going to a job we hate, and then spending 8 hours with people who demean us, who make us feel small or whatnot, or, you know, just the jobs that we find boring, that affects our lives. We go home, and whether we want to believe it or not, we bring our work home. And we bring our home to work.
Yes, yes.
You know, everybody says you have to detach the two. There is no way you can 100% detach the two.
No, you can't. And I remember those days when I was customer service, when I was a teacher, not that I have anything against teaching, but when I became a substitute, that all changed for me.
Exactly.
It became easier. I know people probably don't understand. You know, there, I had a lot of family tell me, but why are you just a sub? Because I did the teaching thing. I taught Spanish, and I was always in a, you know, in those schools I was at, I was treated poorly. Yeah. And I got tired of it.
Yeah.
You know, you get to a point where you want to live a happier life. And thankfully, my husband has always been a very supportive person. And you need that support. Otherwise, you know, in your life, you need people that support you. And thankfully, he's always been that guy.
Yeah. You know, and that supports me. People who don't have the family to support them or the friends to support them.
Yeah.
But the people that do have them, sometimes, you know, people don't 100% understand what it takes to be an author. There are writing communities.
Yeah.
We belong to the Coffee House Writers. And even though that's so an stuff like that, you know, we still have
a lot of great support there. It pained me to have to leave because I love being part of that group.
Exactly. And there's so many people that you can reach out for when you need help.
Yes.
But also, I went and I joined the Hope Writers community earlier month and a half ago. And that was a big thing for me because now I'm with, you know, another group of people with another group of experiences, and I can, you know, get a balance of, you know, a lot of people from Coffee House Writers are starting. Hope Writers has people who are experienced and starting, you know, and Coffee House Writers, now that it's 4 years old, is starting to get more experienced people. And you came with experience.
Yes.
Greg was already a writer. I mean, she's been a writer for, I think she said 15, 16 years.
Yeah. So there's many people that, like, you meet all people of all groups, and it's great to join a writer's group. Just, you know, make sure it's the great writer's group for you, because there's different types. There's even a movie, and I hope you watch it one day. It's called Authors Anonymous. It's hilarious, but you learn so much about how people get when other people and others don't. So I think it's a way to look at things. And I've been, you know, blessed that the groups I was part of were always great. But I still remember early groups that I was part of that weren't so great. So it just depends on who you're with.
Exactly. Exactly. And the reason I had chose Hope Writers is because of the social media marketing. I understand through my journalism, through my master's degree thesis, you know, the hardcore specifics. This is what needs to be done. This is how you analytics, stuff like that. But when you actually get to putting it into practical application, it's a little different.
Yes. Every
niche is a little bit different. And believe it or not, how you reach out to a romance writer is going to be different from how you reach out to a dystopian author.
Yes.
Just the idea that, you know, covers, readers have certain expectations for how covers should look.
Yes.
A romance should have a photo cover.
Dystopian
should be, you know, it's usually like some kind of semi abstract, not completely abstract, you know, type cover.
Yes.
Like, you know, so you need to learn the ins and outs, and sometimes you have to reach out to a slightly, you know, more experienced person. So like I'm saying, when it comes to reaching those niches and putting things into practical application,
yes,
you go a little bit deeper. Do I regret spending money on a master's degree? No, I got a firm foundation there.
Yes.
Do I think that everybody needs to do it? No, I think you just need to find the right people to connect with. Not everybody has the privilege to get such, you know, an education.
But yes,
the good thing is, when you're doing a creative career, like writing, like videography, like journalism, is you can learn it while you do it.
Yes. And that's, you know, exactly it. And that's what about what you do, because aside from being an author, an editor, a mentor, you're trying to do it all. Like, you have your degrees within, you know, your bachelor's from SNHU, right? I believe that's your bachelor's
is from SNHU in communications with a concentration in professional writing. Master's is from Full Sail University in new media journalism.
Yeah. And you, like I said, you have, like within your field, you have so much to offer, you know, as not just a person that's, you know, wanting to become a full-time author, but you have so many facets. It's like an onion, you know, that you have so many layers that you can uncover. And the fact that you're willing to help so many people says volumes about you, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've always been kind of like the person that's always helped people. It's kind of the role that I fall into, being the second of seven children, but the oldest daughter.
Mm-hmm.
The oldest son never, like, really matters. It's the oldest daughter in a large family that helps take care
that of helps them. Like the nurturer and the one that cares about so many people, right? And of course, animals. You love your dogs, you love your pets, mm-hmm. all kinds of pets. You're such a giving individual.
Yeah, so to me, just sharing and helping, it comes natural.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but what didn't come natural was learning all the technical stuff, learning how to use a video camera. How do I use, you know, my cell phone when I don't have a video camera? Because cell phones don't have the greatest quality, but there are hacks that you can do.
Yeah.
That will help.
Yes.
You know, like I did journalism and they're like, don't use your cell phone and use a stand. And there I'd be on the beach and I couldn't get my camera deep enough. And I would literally just dig my cell phone into the sand. Technically, it's a sand stand. Dug in, and yeah, it's my cell phone, but it was the only way I was getting that photo of that jellyfish.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Exactly, you know? I mean, I can't tell you how many times I'm like, okay, my camera's on a stand, but that stand is on my leg because I'm photographing outside, and there's no way to get it, you know, it's no way to get it level on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, because originally my niche was environmentalism and climate change in coastal Georgia. So I did a lot of really, really weird things.
So, you know, a lot of what I love about you is that you're willing to learn and get your hands, you know, dirty, or like they say, you know, you're willing to go for that, you know, whatever you're trying to learn, you know, whether it's outdoors and putting your, you know, phone in the sand or whatever it is you need to learn to get that skill, you'll do it.
Exactly. And I think as authors, we get too wrapped around, I'm just a writer. Because for the longest time I was like, I'm a writer, I am not a marketer. Oh my gosh. But when I slowly let that go and I was like, oh, this is script writing. This is
Yeah, you can do this. Yeah.
Writing is entertainment. You know, so my social media marketing on TikTok is entertainment, but, you know, on Facebook, it's marketing, but that's a script. It's just another form of writing in a different way.
Yeah.
And when you realize to make the how to make those connections, you start to realize, oh, poop, I can do that.
Mm-hmm. You know? And you do so good with it. Like I said, everything that you are accomplishing is awesome for me, because like I said, I've met you through Coffee House Writers, but it's been one of the biggest blessings because you're always so willing to help. You know, I've always wanted to start something to help others and to find others that do. And that's what I found with the Coffee House Writers community, that everyone there that we still talk to, like Kate Marie, she's got all her books and marketing stuff that she does herself. There's so many people out of Coffee House that are doing such wonderful things, like Diane Tilly, AKA Alexis Craig. You know, there's so many people that are Destiny Constantin, you know.
I love her. She needs to get on TikTok.
Her and her dad do the podcast. Exactly. You know, there's so many people there. Akili Messino, you know, there's so many people there that are doing things and are helping others. And of course, Donna Trovato and Tracy Hicks, you know, and of course, our very own Jessica Kay, you know, all of them, they're doing awesome.
I was surprised to find out that Tracy hasn't published her first novel yet. She's got the master's degree and she's so much. And I was like, surprised. You never know, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure she's going to get published soon. She's got so many. I love her stories are just incredible.
Yes, they are. Like, we have such incredible group of people. That's why when Coffee House Writers came up with the anthologies, which you were part of the editing, aside from, you know, sharing your stories in the nonfiction and fiction, you edited all these anthologies, right? You were one of the editors.
Yeah, I was an editor, and I did fiction and poetry. I did two short stories and three poems.
See?
And, you know, it's kind of funny because, like, I was just writing poetry, you know, the way I read it. Yeah. You know, I read poetry as a teen. I had a learning disability.
Yeah, you were sharing that in one of your TikTok videos. I saw that.
Yeah, I had a learning disability that I had to overcome. And when I was a teen, it was often I could finish an epic poem. Like, I could make it through Lady of Shalott. I might not necessarily make it all the way through, what are some of the, I can't even think of the stories I read. All Quiet on the Western Front. I mean, I struggled to get through everything I had to read for school. I started reading, I think it was Victoria Holt, I think it was back then.
And wow, you're already reading that?
My mom was a romance reader, and I would just walk off with her books.
Yeah.
And I liked the historical mystery romances. I didn't like the men that they wound up with, because they always wound up with the wrong guy. I'm like, why? When this guy is treating her great just because he's not so good looking and makes a little less money, is she dumping him for the arrogant jerk off who, you know, has been treating
her like
a
jerk? Unfortunately, that's what the romances have. They always have that one other guy, not the one guy that you would think they would choose.
Yeah, and I'm like, why is he the one? But that's the flaw with romance. That's why my dystopian romance is actually going to be a little bit different.
That's I can't wait. That's awesome. So but you were talking about your disability, like how you overcame.
Yeah, it was hard to read for me. So I would read poetry because I could get through Beowulf. I could get through The Lady of Shalott, you know.
Yeah.
It was easy, short lines, digestible for somebody who had difficulty reading.
Yeah.
And so when I was at Coffee House Writers, I was just writing poetry. I didn't have any actual training in writing poetry. And when they said, oh, we want to make you a poetry mentor, and then I found out we had to teach classes, I was like, whoa. So I literally had to go online and actually learn how to write poetry. And I was literally learning and then teaching.
I would have never known that, because like I said, when I was in the poetry department, I know that it started off with Jessica Willing, and I think you, and then later Nicole Charles, right? I think, or
Nicole Amanda,
Calpurnia or Nicole, and you know, but I remember You were just like a natural. I mean, I don't know about, I was always on your team, but I saw the stuff that you would provide and the, and after Diane left, cause she had experience with that. Yeah. You know, it was great to see you take over it, and you just, you've done such a wonderful job with it.
Yeah. I guess I'm head of the poetry department now. I wasn't expecting that.
That's awesome. You know, you should be able to be proud of that because you're awesome with it.
Yeah, so basically what I did was I just learned how to use it, and then I said, okay, this is how I have to teach it. Mm-hmm. And I try to teach in a way that's simple, because I know that there's at least one other person that I've worked with at Coffee House Writers that said that they also had a learning disability.
Wow, that
so I try to do it in a multi. But like, it's not just you write it, you clap it, you speak it, something.
Yeah,
you
know? Like a hand, it's almost like a hands-on type of thing you're taking on to help you learn.
Exactly.
Yeah, because my husband had a learning disability. I kind of had one growing up as well. And it helps to hear these stories of how you can overcome it. You know, just have to practice.
Yeah, and as, you know, as I learned with Full Sail, one principle on top of another on top of another. That's how I've, you know, since I've taken over the department, started teaching. Mm-hmm. We went back to the grassroots because the department has changed so much. And I went back to, okay, this is rhythm. This is meter. Now, people might teach rhythm and meter together, but I split them up.
Yeah.
Because if you understand rhythm, and you give yourself 2 or 3 weeks to practice rhythm and get it digest what rhythm is,
mm-hmm.
you're going to understand meter better.
Yes.
Definitely. Even though they're super short lessons.
Yes. Definitely.
It's something that you're just going to be able to memorize and keep with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. You know, so that's kind of like how I like learning and teaching is digestible. And that's how I like sharing with other authors and writers is, you know, don't give them too much, give them a little.
Yeah. So, exactly.
And it's the same thing going back to, you know, finding the time to write, finding the time to do your social media. Can I do social media? Am I an author and a marketer? You know, just do a little bit. And as you get better, that little bit becomes a bigger bit, you know, and it grows. And the next thing you know, I am what I thought an author should be, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. That's just awesome. Like I said, you know, you accomplished so much and, you know, it's great to be able to talk to you on so many, like I said, so many facets of what you're doing, but I wanted to touch up before we, you know, end our chat on your novels and what's coming up for you, because you offer so much for all of us. And it, like I said, I'm pretty sure everyone's going to be, you know, wanting to download your interview, because like I said, you've offered so many facets of your life, so many great advice. And I want to know about the books that you're, you know, I know you kind of talked about the titles, but what are those stories about? And, you know, what, as far as what you're working on?
So America Civil War II, that is my straight up dystopian post climate change crisis, post Second Civil War due to the unrest caused by, you know, segregation. I was seeing a lot of things happening in society back in 2016, 2017 that was just ripping us apart, and I was like, what could be the worst that could happen? And that's what, how that story came about. And this came about, you know, how do we come together once we've fallen apart, and is it possible? And it's a multicultural group in a segregated world. People are starving and they think they have a way to save the country. And you know, it all has to do with, if we do one nice thing, can we make this better?
Yes.
The fact that there will be people out there who, for their own selfish reasons, are always going to try to keep people down. And, you know, you've got people like, well, it's the way it's always been. You know, it can't change. Or, you know, why should I fight for them if they're not going to fight for me? And it kind of addresses all these different, you know, emotions that we have as human beings, us being human, you know, and can we become our own heroes?
Oh.
And then with Burn, I went with the political climate change dystopia again, but I added in, it's 50% dystopia, 50% romance.
Whoa. That's...
And she's hiding her past. He's a younger man who's never really experienced love. You know, he's always just kind of done what he's had to do to survive and for his family to survive.
Yeah.
So, due to a huge secret hidden by politicians, the entire village burns.
Oh my gosh.
And the people that she thought she was hiding from turn out to be the people that are causing the problems where she are. So she, will she be able to hide? Will she be able to continue to have the freedom she was hoping to have? And how, you know, will falling in love destroy her? Or, you know, so she's going through all these emotions and he's trying to be the supportive person, but he might not be enough for her, but he might be enough for her, and she doesn't know it, kind of a thing. I'm not telling anything about the ending. And but I mean, I also tried to find, I didn't want everybody to be just a mean, nasty villain. I have one villain that I want people to cry for, and I'm hoping, I mean, I worked really hard on the character development for this one villain, and I was like, you know, because it always takes, you know, a group of people to cause problems. It's not always just one person.
Yeah. You know?
Well, this one person, I really made her background one that I'm really hoping that when people hear her story, instead of being angry at her,
yes,
be sorry for her. I want them to feel for her and realize, you know, but for the grace of God, you know, kind of a thing. This could have been me, if not her.
Yes.
If I was in a different situation, kind of a thing. And okay, I can understand why she did what she did, you know. So I want people to understand. One of the things, you know, is people like to look at things in black and white.
Yes.
And I've had conversations with people where I'm like, why can't you see what's in the middle?
Yeah.
Why can't you see the million shades of gray? You know?
Yeah.
So it's, I wanted to have characters that were fully developed and really, really, I mean, I put a lot of character work into this one.
I had a call coming in. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
That's okay. Yeah, so like I was saying, I put a lot of character work into that one because I really find that the characters drive the story.
Yes, they do. I feel the same way as you. Mine are always character driven, not plot driven. That's I think the characters are the main was it meat of the whole story, or if you're a vegetarian, or the main fish of the story.
Yes. Yes, and this is one of those, someone's pulling a string, who's pulling a string, who's pulling a string.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, there's a reason why people are able to pull other people's strings.
Yes.
And I want people to see that.
Definitely.
That it's not as black and white as we want it.
Yeah, it isn't. And I can't wait to have, you know, for people to read your books because, like I said, you have so many facets of your career and the following that you have, and you're developing and you're creating, and the advice, like the teacher, you're a writer, author, mentor, teacher, you're everything. And I think you're just going to keep growing. You
exactly.
Know?
And the last thing I want to say just to the authors and the people who are struggling is be flexible. I was with Coffee House Writers for the second time this year, and I was like, I can't find my dystopian audience. I can't find my dystopian audience.
No.
700 people following me, and like 80% of them are romance authors. And I was like, why can't I find my audience? And then all of a sudden, I realized I have an audience. It's a romance audience.
Yeah.
And I realized I need to adapt, pull Burn out, which I came up with the idea for Burn, what, a year ago?
Yep.
And I was like, I need to pull that out. And I suspended my contract with New Degree Publishing, yeah, because I just realized that the book that I have with them isn't the book that my audience wants.
Yeah. Yeah.
So don't think of things as a failure. Be flexible and realize that there's something out there. There's a way.
And you can adjust it to, you know?
Yeah, the path isn't a straight line. It goes around a lot of rocks, over some rivers, maybe dumps you in a giant puddle that you have to crawl out of, but be flexible. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still there. You know, okay. You do have to be flexible. Exactly. Sorry, I was trying to adjust the connection. Yes, definitely. You have to adjust to the audience. Like you said, find your niche and then adjust and figure out what your audience wants.
Yeah, I mean, they want romance, but you know what? I noticed romance readers don't just read, you know, hot summer, you know, romances. I mean, right now, one of the hottest things on TikTok is Ice Planet Barbarians. Human female romance with these giant, you know, blue space aliens. You know?
Yeah.
They'll read that. They'll read all sorts of weird things. As long as it's romance, they have high fantasy romance. They have this kind of romance, that kind of romance. So dystopian romance won't be that much of a stretch. It might be a smaller audience, but it'll still be a bigger audience than I have for my dystopia right now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly it. And it's like, you have to keep working on it and don't think of things as failures. They're stepping stones to get you where you need to be.
And the other thing is, if I make it a dystopian romance, mm-hmm, and they like this dystopian romance, I might get a few dystopian readers off of this. Because not everybody reads just romance. Not everybody reads just sci-fi.
Yeah. They like a mixture of both. So yeah, mm-hmm, I think you're on the right track. So, you know, you just got to keep going and keep pursuing and keep doing what you need to do. And like I said, you know, it's always lovely to be able to chat with someone that's making it happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's slow. It's probably a year and a half longer so far, and it's going to be probably another, you know, 3 to 6 months more before I finally get my first book released. I'm hoping, my goal is October, but it's all going to depend on when I get that job, so I can pay.
And you will. Positive things will happen because you're a positive person. And even through the struggles of what we go through, they're learning lessons. I guess at the moment, we don't know what they are, but we find out. I believe that everything happens for a reason. And that's what helps me get through the day. You know?
It's just a matter of not allowing yourself to get frustrated. And that's
it. And that's the biggest struggle we have as humans, the frustration.
Yeah, that's probably the last thing I want to share with authors is don't get frustrated. Don't.
And have faith in yourselves. There's so many authors that if they're not selling enough, they want to give up. It's not about the sales. Yes, we want sales. Of course we do. But you have to do it because you love what you're doing.
And when you love what you do, eventually the sales will happen.
Yep. If you believe, it's kind of like the field of dreams. If you believe it, it will come, you know?
If you believe it and act on it, it will come.
It will come. Exactly. Exactly. If you act on it. Exactly.
Because even though they said, if you believe it, it will come.
Yeah.
He believed it. He acted on
Acting on it and get it done. Yep. Because you've got to do, you know, it's like you have to do. It's good to believe that things will come to you, but you have to do the work as well if you expect things to come.
Exactly.
And Francine, it's been wonderful chatting with you. And I know you have a different social media where people can reach out to you, and I'll post them with the episode. We have two parters. So I was going to say, where can they find you, like, instantly, like if they want to connect with you?
If you want to connect with me on Facebook, send me something to my messenger, or Instagram and send that to my messenger if you want to connect with me. If you just want to see what I'm doing, what I'm up to, TikTok. I'm trying to get on there. I'm on there about 2 or 3 times a week, and I'm trying to get myself to a point where I'm daily on TikTok because that's where I have the biggest audience and the most engagement.
Okay, so did you all, I hope you all got that information from Francine. And I will post it on the link to make sure that they're able to connect with you.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I check Facebook and Instagram daily. And like I said, TikTok, I'm trying to get on there daily.
It's always Francine Lee W, right? That's where they can find
Francine Lee W, yes.
Okay. Francine Lee W. So make sure that you connect with her. And Francine, it's been amazing talking to you, chatting with you, even through the technology. Technology didn't stop us today. So it's all good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining me on the Daily with Sil Stein on this wonderful Thursday. And I hope you have an amazing day. I will post her interview once it gets edited and processed, and you can share. And I hope you come again, Francine.
Yes, thank you. I will.
Have an amazing afternoon. And thank you for joining me on the Daily with Sil Stein through Anchor FM. This has been a wonderful one-on-one with the amazing Francine Lee W. Have a great day, everyone. Thank you, Francine.
Thank you, Sil. You have a great day, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.